Hey, everybody. It's episode 345 of PodQuest.
Hey.
It's Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. It's almost April. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And Walnut.
I'm tired.
Who sounds like he's in a robot factory tonight.
You know, I'm honestly, probably after you do your whole, like, getting rid of the background noise, they probably won't hear it.
Honestly, I don't know if I'll be able to get rid of all that.
It's pretty loud.
It's barely picking up on Audacity.
I mean, hopefully that is the case. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's rhythmic, so at least, like...
Yeah, and it'll stop within 20 minutes.
Yeah, but is Jensen doing more of the thing?
Oh, no, she's doing wedding flower stuff, things like that. So she might be rustling bags and things
okay,
like that.
Okay, that's what I heard. I heard something else. I thought it was the vinyl thingy. Like, I thought she was doing the scraping on that again.
No. She's her wedding is in 3 days.
Holy shit, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Tell her congratulations, I guess.
They say congratulations.
No. I say congratulations. Fuck Druten. He didn't say shit.
Only Cobb said congratulations.
Congratulations, Jensen.
And now Druten says congratulations.
My sister's getting married not this upcoming weekend, but the next week.
Nice.
Man, that's weird.
Right?
They should have just gotten together and just done a joint wedding. It would have been cheaper.
No. That would have been...
Why not?
I don't know. Our sisters are completely different, so I don't think they would have had the same ideas for weddings to have a double wedding.
Oh, I think Jensen would have murdered Lynn.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like knowing you and... I mean, like, I know Jensen a little bit. I don't know what her temper's like, but knowing what, like, you and your brother's temper's like, I can only imagine hers is as bad, if not worse, being the youngest and the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my sister's temper is terrible, too.
Oh, I believe that. Like, but she's the middle child. So, like, she's used to just, like, everything going wrong for her. Jensen's the baby. Like, Richie, Jensen's the baby. So, that's not the case. She's the baby and the only girl. That gives her, like, extra status.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Richie's the second son. He actually doesn't matter.
No, not at all. Not at all. If this were medieval times, they'd be like, you can go work on the farms or whatever. They don't care about me at all.
No, I mean, that's why, like, and you figure Eric has children, so, like...
You've now been leapt over in the succession line.
Oh, no, absolutely. 100%. I am zilch.
You're not married, so, like, yeah. As far as your family is concerned, you don't really exist.
I exist when there's animals to be taken.
I mean, that's it. Like you're the you're the designated cat lady now.
Yeah, I am. Yes.
I mean, I was going to say you live alone, but that's not the case. But, like, you will eventually, because eventually the married couple won't want to live with you.
Exactly.
Or they'll just somehow force you out.
Who knows?
Like, they'll just start, like, taking over more and more of the house once they're married.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come home, Kwame will just be in his underwear on the couch playing video games.
Oh, yeah, probably.
All your shit will just be in the little, like, in the laundry closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, completely unrelated to that. We bought a soda stream.
Yeah,
those things are pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we thought about it, and, like, a guy that I work with was saying how, like, convenient they are. And they had, like, a sale and stuff on their website for, like, the whole, like, pack of it. And yeah, I didn't realize, like, the like base model of that is not electric at all. There's no power that goes to it.
Yeah, it's like just a CO2 cartridge, right?
Yeah, it's just a CO2 tank screws into the back, and then you put a bottle into it and push a button, and it opens up the CO2 and shoots CO2 into the bottle.
Yeah.
But yeah, like...
Those things are pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can make it as fizzy as you want, and then they sell little, like, flavor. It's actually bubbly flavor, like the other sparkling water company.
The Buble?
Yeah, that one. Oh. They just have a bunch of different flavors of that you can just, like, add little bits of it to flavor it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you drink seltzer water, I recommend getting one, because yeah, it's definitely it's definitely easier to do than like buying cases of it every week and then having to deal with all of the cans.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to drink soda in general, but I do have a bottle of Coca-Cola Classic in my fridge that. Last time I drank it, and it's not that old, but last time I drank it, I started to feel just gassy and sick. That's what soda does to me now, so I just don't drink it.
Well, I don't really drink soda, but, like, I drink, like, seltzer, which has nothing in it other than CO2 and water. So, like, there's no sweetener, there's no weird ingredients. Like, the ingredients are literally CO2 and water.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's something different than just drinking flat water.
Yeah.
And, like, generally, like, I drink flat water all day. And then at night, like, around dinner time, I'll have, like, one or two cups of, like, seltzer. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, like, flavored, like, but it's, like, the LaCroix flavored, where, like, it just kind of tastes like somebody rubbed the fruit on the outside of the glass.
Yeah.
It sat in the same room as a lime.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not even as far as, like, somebody put a lime wedge into the drink. It was just kind of in the vicinity of it, and just, it was there long enough in the heat, the lime went bad, and just some of it got stuck to the glass. Yeah. So, following up from last week, we talked about the rumors that Sony was going to be cutting off all of the old generation storefronts. Mm-hmm. They've confirmed it. I actually got an email yesterday confirming it for them that I couldn't go buy any of this stuff after July or August. Yep. So yeah, PS3 and PSP storefronts on the consoles, because the web storefronts have been gone for a while, will stop working in July. I believe it was July 2nd. I have the article open over here somewhere, I think. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, July 2nd is the PS3 and PSP stores, and then the Vita store is going to be closing on August 27th. And I still think that kind of sucks.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, just them doing this is not all that different from, like, what Nintendo did with the virtual, with, like, the Wii store. But the Wii store had far less stuff on it that people would necessarily want to go back to, I feel, than the PS3 and Vita do.
Though, at least unlike Wii Shop, if you've bought shit, you can still go back and download it.
That is true. That is true. And, I mean, it's a really shitty double standard, but that's just the sort of thing you expect from Nintendo, which is why I don't really buy, like, major releases digitally from them, because I just don't trust that they will have that stuff available. But this doesn't mean that Sony won't eventually just make it so you can't download that stuff either. And for, like, the Vita, like, the memory cards for that are impossible to find now, and even if you can find them, they were always incredibly expensive, but now they're three times the price because they haven't made them in so long. So, like, you can't download all your Vita games if you wanted to, just to, like, have them. Like, you're just fucked. Like, if they ever stop selling those games, there's just no, or stop letting you download them, there's no way to get them all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll just have to pick and choose, like, the three games that you want to keep on your 2 gig card, because that's all you could afford when you bought your Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the PSP is a little different, I feel. Like, that one has been, like, dead long enough. And that kind of, I know there was the PSP Go that was all digital, but, like, I feel like the PSP still kind of, like, predated, like, people really wanting digital content and trusting it. Whereas by the PS3 and then Vita, like, Sony was pushing stuff digital. Like, they wanted you to purchase digital games. Like, they were selling all those indie titles and stuff like that that were only ever released digitally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does suck. It's bad for game preservation, like we said last week. Hopefully they don't then take this as a, all right, well, in a year we're just going to get rid of the ability to download this. Drew, did you listen to the Bombcast today?
I did. I didn't get through the emails, but I listened to the rest of it.
So I thought, like, they made a good point when they were talking about this whole thing, where Sony hasn't given any sort of reasoning why they're doing it. They're just doing it. Like, they're not saying that it's to free up, like, workforce, or that what is honestly probably the case is the PSN was built like garbage, and they're trying to get rid of as many old pieces of it as they can so that they can try and fix the new stuff. Because as long as some of this old stuff exists, they can't fix it. That's why, like, frankly, like, they upgraded the store on the web, and they made it worse than it used to be. Probably because of all, like, the hooks into the old content they have.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they mentioned on the Bombcast, like, Xbox did the same thing. They closed down the original Xbox Live, but they said why. Like, they said it was old and barely functional, and they needed to get rid of it, but then they turned around and offered backwards compatibility, and you can still download and purchase a lot of those old games. Whereas Sony doesn't care about old stuff. Like, they don't want you to play their old games.
Yeah.
And, like, they even brought up that interview with Jim Ryan from a few years ago, where he basically said, like, why would anyone ever want to play a game that old? It looks like garbage. Like, cool. The guy in charge of the games thinks that the old games that they made look like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Jim Ryan very much.
Yeah, there have definitely been way better faces for PlayStation.
Yeah, like, I thought Andrew House was actually very, like, likable as a, as far as, like, an executive could be.
Yeah.
Same thing, like Sean Layden. Like, he wasn't out there the way that, like, Reggie at Nintendo or Spencer at Xbox. But, like, he was still always likable whenever he did an interview or was, like, on stage at E3 and whatnot. Like, Jim Ryan just seems like he's kind of a douchebag. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you want to purchase any PlayStation 3, PSP, or PS Vita games, you better break out those consoles and do it before the summer. I actually hope that they do, like, a sale or something on, like, PS Vita or something like that. It's just like, hey, you can't ever buy these again anyway. If you want to, buy them for a dollar. Like,
yeah.
Why not?
See, I feel like that would end up defeating the purpose of why they're doing this, because they're trying to roll out... you're right, they're probably trying to roll out the, like, no one's going to download them anyway, so let's make it so they can't buy them, so that when we do take them down from being downloaded, there's less people trying to download them. So, I feel like running a shutdown sale would, like, kind of defeat the purpose, because they're not doing this for money reasons. You know that.
No, but they are a company that only cares about money, so if they can just go, all of these games are 50% off or more for, like, the last week the store's online, they're going to get sales to shut... they're going to get sales that they're not getting right now to shut down that content, and then no one's going to download it. They're just going to buy it. Because, like I said, like, no one has enough memory to download Vita games.
It's like a going out of business.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, the difference between a going out of business sale and this would be you're trying to offload everything just because you're trying to liquidate and make as much money as possible because you no longer have the storefront. This is, oh, we're shutting down the storefront. We're not trying to liquidate and make as much money as possible because we don't use this storefront. Like, I don't think they would really make that much money on this because the people who want to buy games on those systems already have bought those games.
But, I mean, that might be the case, but even if they made $1,000 off of people buying games that, like, are not going to be available anymore, that's $1,000 for that literally took them no effort to do. It's not like somebody has to, like, they don't have to keep somebody employed to check people out, right?
So, no, but here's the thing. I know I'm not going to go and load up my PS3 or grab my PSP and buy a game from... Are either of you two going to do that?
Actually, if they did something like that, I might grab a few PS Vita games.
Without the sale, are you going to do that?
I plan sometime over the summer looking at the games for Vita and seeing if there's anything that I ever wanted that I didn't get. And I may grab it if the price isn't, like, something stupid.
Drew?
I mean, I've got my PS3 sitting right here that I very easily could.
Are you going to?
I don't
care if you could. Do you have plans, or have you had plans, to buy games on your PS3 recently?
Recently, no. Of course not. Like,
then, that's more my point. Like,
but that's the point. Is there anything at GameStop or GameStop's a bad example because it's video games. Like, pick a store that, like, you don't shop at very often. Like, if they were going out of business and all of their stuff was 75% off, you think you'd go check it out if they sold stuff that you liked?
Well, yeah, like, I did that with CompUSA. When they were shutting down CompUSA, I went and I did buy a bunch of games and stuff that I went there because they were shutting down. I knew the sales were going to happen. Like, I knew they were doing that sale, so I went there. Like, the difference between CompUSA doing that sale is they were liquidating their storefronts. They were trying to get as much money as they can to pay their employees and to come out of closing their store line with as much money as possible.
So, fun fact, those liquidation things have nothing to do with paying people or coming out with as much money as they want. When a store goes into liquidation, a separate company comes in to do that so that they can try and make as much money as they can.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the business itself is it's usually in bankruptcy. They are not making any money. They are paying off debtors that they owe fucking tons of money to.
Yeah, I just thought that was a fun little anecdote.
But, like, I don't understand. You're making the argument for them to do it because they actually would get to keep all this money. Like,
by just going and
clicking a button and lowering price on shit.
But, you know what? They're probably gonna make more. They could make more money if they don't do a sale, because apparently there's people who still want to buy stuff off the PS3. But, so why run a sale when you could just sell the things at full price?
Because then there's the people like me and Cobb that aren't going to go buy shit for full price, but we'll go buy five times the shit at 50% off each, and we will have spent more money on than we would have if everything was full price. That is how sales work. That like, is literally but, how sales work.
But my point is, like, you know, I'm indifferent on this whole situation. I don't really care, but my point is, if you haven't bought them by now for the PS3 or the Vita, what makes you think you want them in a month?
Because I like these having things, even if I never will play them.
That's wasteful. Like,
how's it wasteful?
Because you're wasting money on something you're not going to use.
I like collecting them.
And so you're going to buy all of these things that you're probably never going to be able to, you might potentially not even be able to download. So what are you collecting?
But that's the whole thing. Like, I wouldn't go on there and spend $500. There are people that would. And there are people that have, like, the memory to download a bunch of this stuff. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it literally costs Sony nothing to run a sale right now. Like, all somebody has to go, like, to do a line-wide sale, all they have to do is go into the store and just, like, click a button that says 20% off, 30% off, whatever. And even if it's a little bit more than that, like, it's not like it's weeks worth of work to like sort that out, and all they have to do is put disclaimers on everything that like sales are final, like we do not guarantee that this game will exist afterwards, like blah blah blah.
I mean, that's already in the terms of service.
I mean, yes, yeah. Most likely, but that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't cost them anything, or like both monetarily or like business wise, like nothing happens if they do this. Other than they will make money that they aren't going to make otherwise. That's all I'm saying. Like, they are more likely to make money if they run a sale on this stuff in June. Or, like, for... I say June because, like, the two close in early July. But if they did, like, a PS3, PSP sale in, like, mid-June. And then a PS Vita sale in late July. Or early August, since it's late August when that one's closing. Like, they're going to make a bunch of money that they wouldn't have made at all otherwise. Because it's not like people would have been spending that on PS5 games. There aren't that many. So, they'll have a bunch of money come in for them to then go in and turn a service... Like, they're getting paid that way to turn a service off. It's literally a win-win for them. They're getting to turn off the thing they don't want running anymore and make a whole bunch of money.
Especially, it's
factual. PSP digital sales still happen in Japan. People still actively buy games in Japan. So if they run a sale, the Japanese folks that still play their PS Vitas on the train will 100% buy things.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole situation to me is just like, I'm like, it is what it is, and I really don't care that much about it. Obviously,
I don't know. For somebody who doesn't care about it, you're arguing against it a whole bunch
because it's dumb. Like The thought of going back to my PS3 to buy, not because they look shitty. I'm not agreeing with whoever you were talking about earlier. I'm not saying because they look shitty. It's just, my thought process of going back and hooking up my PS3 and buying it, like, it's not something that, like, ever comes to mind. And yes, I know, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who only have PS3s. And it sucks for them that they're not going to be able to buy games come July. But, I stand by, if you haven't bought it now and it's been out for that long, are you actually going to buy it?
And you know what? For the PS3, sure. That is two generations ago. Like, the PSP has not been a current system since 2013. But the Vita, they only discontinued that, what, last year or the year before? I think it was 2019. It's only been 2 years since it was discontinued. They sold a developer a fucking dev kit 2 months ago. Like, those things aren't free. They have to pay money for dev kits. They sold somebody a dev kit for a platform that they cannot sell the game on they were developing. So, like, the Vita is still actively used and everything. It seems like a no-brainer, at least for that platform. Like, do a sale, let people buy some stuff on there that has come out over, say, the last 2 years. Like, because there are games that have released in the last just couple of years for the Vita. It's not like big AAA games, a lot of indie games, but they're still there. Like, let people buy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you hate things. It's fine.
Yeah, I just, like, it's just, I've never owned a Vita, so I don't really have... And the only people I know who own Vitas are... Like, Drewton, do you have one?
Nope.
Cobb, you do?
I do.
So the only people I know who own Vitas are you and Eric, and all Eric used his for was Remote Play.
No.
That's it.
That was in the last few years. Like, he used to use that thing a bunch.
He used it for Remote Play.
I know for a fact he played Vita games on it. We used to talk about Vita games.
Like, but... Alright, then yeah, in the last few years, all he used it for was Remote Play. Because there's nothing on it. Like, what he got what he needed, he bought the games he was going to buy, and then he hasn't used it. Just because it's only been discontinued for 2 years, and just because they sold a dev kit 2 months ago, like, that's, unfortunately, and kind of a shitty way to see it, that's on the developer. Like, they were making this game for something that hasn't been in production for 2 years.
That is on Sony for selling them a dev kit. If they were shutting down their store, they should not have even offered to sell them a dev kit.
They probably didn't know 2 months ago they were shutting down the store.
Yeah, this is something that takes a while to
even if this was
out.
In discussions, they should not have been selling dev units.
Yeah.
If there was even one person thinking about shutting down the store, they should have discontinued selling dev units.
So if you're running a business and you're thinking your business is going to go under, you're going to stop getting clients?
Well, from what you were just saying, it's the dev fault for making a game on a platform that was dead. So it was already dead, so why were they selling dev units?
Because they could. They're running a business. They can still get clients.
You defend big corporations a lot.
I'm just saying, though.
You also just said they're killing the thing, so they shouldn't do a sale on games. Like, you're making the count, like...
I'm not saying they shouldn't do a sale. I'm just saying there's no reason for them to do a sale. Like,
well, I mean, there's no reason for
any company
to do a sale.
There's the same reason they would sell a dev kit to someone on a dead thing to make money. Like,
if like you said that they're still selling titles in Japan and such, they're still selling things. So if it's not making the money they're expecting it to make or wanting it to make, like, oh, I don't know. I just. If you, like I said, if you're running a business and you think you're going under, you're not going to stop getting clients. If you're running this service and this system that people still buy things for, but you're trying to figure out whether or not you're going to shut down the storefront and somebody comes to you and is like, I want to buy a dev kit because I want to make a game for your system. Sure, here's a dev kit.
Well, I mean, there's actually like kind of, if you're running a business and you know you're going to shut down before... you can actually render the service to someone, you should not fucking sell them a product. Like, period, end of story. Let me put it this way. If I'm a lawyer, and someone comes to me because they need defense for a case in 3 months, but I know I'm going to shut down in 2.5 months, like, I'm going to then get sued on the back end for just taking this person's money and never actually being able to do anything, when I already knew I was shutting down. Like, that's bullshit.
But there's no, you know, it's, you're in talks, you're trying to figure out. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you run a business and you don't know if you're going to make it 3 months, and somebody comes to you and says, I have a case in 3 months, and you think you can make it, and then a month after you take care on their case, you say, we're not going to make it 3 months, sorry. Like,
but that's... So they should have... Like I said, there's no way this was decided within the last 2 months. Like, they've known they've been working on this for a while, or it wouldn't have leaked 2 weeks ago, because that means it's been sitting around at Sony long enough for it to leak. They should have at least told the developer that the store may be shutting down, or that there may be changes to the store, because you figure the developer got the dev unit to then spend X amount of time developing it for that console, only to then be told that, like, oh yeah, no, you can't. And the dev, from what I've seen on Twitter, they were not told separately that they couldn't, that the store was shutting down. They got the same notice through, like, news that everyone else did. Like, that's what's fucked up, and that's poor communication on Sony's part.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. Like, but like, again, they haven't announced why they're doing this.
And they won't, because Sony is super tight-lipped about that stuff.
Like, and this is the hopeful part. What if they're shutting down these stores so that they could fix and work on the background and maybe reopen them on the PS5 and others and end on the back end later on with a better PSN? Like, that's unlikely 100%.
Yeah, no, that...
But
if this was Xbox, like, maybe.
But, like, you don't know, we don't know why they're shutting these down. They haven't given us any information. But, like, I don't know. It's like, if the PS Vita sells as much as it is, there's no reason why they should be shutting this down.
So, like, it's not selling as much as it could be. It is. I'm just simply saying it is still in use, people still develop for it, and people still buy things on it. It's probably not making them millions of dollars, but there is a small amount of revenue coming from it. We're running a sale, like I said, like, it doesn't hinder them doing anything. It just gives them a little more money in their pocket because there are like, I still use my Vita, like, I'm not going to say a lot. Like, I don't use anything a lot, but I use it enough. Like I pull it out and play it a few times a year. Like, and like when I say a few times a year, like, I play a game on it a few times a year. So, like, it's not like mine's just been sitting in, like, a closet for the last 5 years. Like, I do play it. And, like, there are games on it that I've always, like, thought about getting, but I just never got around to it because it is kind of a hassle to, like, store those games. But if they're just like, oh, yeah, no, this $40 game, $15. I'm like, you know what? For $15, why not? Like, I'll find a way to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I agree, though. Like, the PS3 and PSP, like, yeah, people probably aren't buying anything on those anymore. Like, if they are, that's insane. Because, like you said, there's probably a small demographic of people that, like, only have a PS3 still. And it is a bummer for them. It's a bummer that they don't have anything else, like, for whatever reason, if they can't afford it or whatnot. But, like, hopefully they have a lot of just physical games. Because one of you can correct me if I'm wrong, if either of you know. I don't think PS3 era you were really able to buy digitally, like first-party AAA titles, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Could you? Okay.
Yeah, I think you could.
I never did. I only ever got, like the smaller, like, indie stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess you must have been able to because, like, PS Plus existed on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were giving away those games for the first, like, 3 years of the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I don't know in my head, I still feel like that generation was the one where, like, it was still just the, like, art, like, quote-unquote, like, arcade games the way that, like, the Xbox Arcade was. Anyway, though. It's a bummer. Richie apparently really likes corporations, you fucking jerk.
I just, when it comes to something like this, I just, it literally, I'm just like, eh.
You defend companies all the time. You're always backing Sony and Nintendo and shit. You're fucking pro-corporation. You're looking for that future where, like, Taco Bell is, like, our church or whatever.
You know what? I'd go to the church of Taco Bell.
Well, because it's, like, the only fast food place you can eat. So, like, of course you would.
I mean, I can eat Chick-fil-A, but that's already a church called the Catholic Church, so...
You're not wrong. Anyway, talk about Monster Hunter Rise while Drew and I stare off into space.
You guys are actually gonna like what I say about Monster Hunter Rise.
Do you not like it?
It's underwhelming.
That sounds about right.
It's incomplete. It's not a finished game. So, normal Monster Hunter games, they have the low rank and the high rank, and it usually weaves a single player, goes into high rank, and you do a couple of high rank missions, and you have that big boss and at the end of single player, and then you go into, like, your hub quests, your multiplayer quests. In Rise, it's all low rank for single player, and then you have to run through low rank quests in multiplayer, and then high rank quests in and there is no end game content, with some of it being released at the end of April, and a, quote, additional ending being released sometime this year.
That's weird.
I don't know. It might be COVID related. Like, they weren't able to, like, get everything up and done and running. I personally would have preferred them to just delay the fucking game than release an incomplete game with no, even knowing that they're going to be patching in and adding new things. I want everything that was told to me was going to be in there. Like, available now. Like, there is a boss, a monster, it's a spider monster, that they did not have in World, and I've been wanting them back, because they've been in previous ones. He is not in, as far as I know, is not in this game. But it is one of the key flagship monsters for this game. I have not fought it yet, and I believe the highest rank, mission ranks are 8, and I'm 6. So, there might be a few more that I haven't gotten into, but, like, there's just, like, it's just not a complete game, and it's underwhelming with the lack of content for a Monster Hunter game, which normally has a boatload of content. And they put a big focus on the, they have, like, these horde modes, which are kind of cool. They're like kind of tower defense-y monsters coming and you have to place turrets, and some of them are auto firing, some of them are you man them yourselves, and like they're neat, and they put a big focus on them to fight the these quote the apex monsters, which gives you better equipment, but the only way to fight the apex monsters is doing the horde mode, and the horde modes are a bitch to do by yourself. And so it's like, if you don't have a lot of people to play with, or you can't communicate or get together to do these horde modes, you're kind of just shit out of luck and have to deal with these fucking horde modes by yourself.
Have you thought about getting good?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Like, it's just like, I have my armor set for my primary weapon that I've been using. The problem is I have all the armor that's basically available to me. There's no, like, there's different classifications of monsters, and there's one classification called Elder Dragons. They're not in this game, in this release version, at all.
Oh, that kind of sucks. But
which those,
at least you get a dog. Huge,
I get a dog, and I'll get into the dog in a second, because, Cobb, you're going to love the dog, being a Mario fan. But, like, the Elder Dragons tend to feed into the more meta armor sets that make you, like, the epic hunter that you are, to make continuing further into the game and fighting the harder monsters a little bit easier and a little bit less frustrating. Like, I am very underwhelmed with the amount of content on it. No, the dog, though, the dog is fantastic. You can ride the dog and run around, and Cobb, you're gonna like this. If you go to make a jump but can't quite reach it, you can press B and jump off your dog and drop him into a pit, and then make the jump yourself.
That's awful. Why would I want to do that to a dog?
You do it to a dinosaur all the time.
Yeah, but Yoshi's just respawn in eggs. It's fine.
The dog climbs up from the dirt once you land.
That's still mean. Like, I like dogs. I don't care about Yoshi.
He can dig. You should care about Yoshi. Yoshi's the best.
Yoshi's a tool.
Yeah.
Well, so are these dogs.
No, dogs are friends, you fucking psychopath.
But like, these dogs, like, you can ride around with them. They're really cool. You can, they fight really neat. Like, well, that's one of the cool things they did with this game is, when you're playing multiplayer in previous versions, if you played with two players, you each would bring in your animal companion. Now, if you have four players, you all bring in your animal companion. So there are so many particle effects and things that are flashing off these monsters, it can kind of get a little intense. You might not really fully see what you're doing, but I'm a melee fighter. I don't use ranged weapons, so that it doesn't bother me. But ranged users are kind of like, there's too much going on screen sometimes.
People melee in this game? Like, aren't there only two ranged weapons?
There's three ranged ones.
I thought there were only two.
No, there's three. There's the heavy bow gun, light bow gun, and the bow.
Versus like then you 10 melee weapons.
11. There's 14 weapons in total. Then there's they added this new feature called the switch skills, which is something that they kind of had in a previous Monster Hunter game. I believe it was 4 or Generations. Where you could set your hunter arts and you would have like different combo attacks and have different special moves. Where this one, like, I'm using the gunlance, and your base hold charge B would fire a charged explosion from the tip of your gunlance. I now have it to where if I hold the charge, he'll put the lance behind him and shoot it and fly forward. So this increases my mobility and makes it so I can close in on the monster faster if they run off from me. Because otherwise I'd have to sheath my weapon, run up to him, and then unsheath an attack, which takes a little bit more time. It also changes silk bug abilities that you can use. Like, they did add a bunch of new things, but just like, there's just a major lack of content, and I'm glad I have a game coming out tomorrow that I'm also getting to where I can alternate back and forth between the two. Otherwise,
right,
because
you're
getting
whatchamacallit tomorrow, right?
I'm going to be getting Outriders, which comes out tomorrow. And if I weren't doing that, I'd probably be done Monster Hunter next week, at least until the first DLC. And then be done that a week later until the, quote, additional endings come out or whatever.
So this isn't as good as World?
No, it's not as good as World. It's probably not the worst, but it's right now it has the least out of any Monster Hunter in my experience.
Okay.
And it's kind of frustrating and underwhelming. Like it feels like there's a lot of silly mistakes or silly choices they did as well. Like in World, they had the open world battle maps where it didn't have load screens between each location, which was nice. Like if you're in the forest, you were always in the forest. There's no load screens. Whereas in previous versions, if you're in region one of the forest and go to region three, like there would be a load screen between one and three. It seems like they originally were going to go back to the load screens in this one and have just like the arena area. But because of the success in World, they decided, no, let's just make it the full open world, which is nice. I like that a lot more than the load screen. But in doing so, they're like, let's add additional camps, which in World, there were additional camps, and you could choose which one to start in when you chose your mission. This one, you can't. And if you die, they don't send you to the closest camp, they send you to the starting camp.
Oh, that's stupid.
And when you get, like, return items, so there are a few quests, for instance, where you have to grab, like, a dragon egg or something. If you get one of those to carry to a camp, they don't have return boxes in the additional camps. You have to go back to the base camps and return them. It's like, why did you even bother adding these additional camps? They're all they are teleport, basically. So if you get knocked out and come back to life, you can teleport to that camp. Or when you start the mission, you can teleport to the camp. But with what they did with the discovery and gathering of the spirit birds to increase your stats while running around, there's no point to teleport. Because you will then essentially be weaker if you teleport to the camp and fight the monster right away than if you were to run the minute it might take to get to the monster and gather all the spirit birds to make yourself stronger, higher defense, higher health.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like, there's just some like silly decisions they made. And I'm hoping like their first drop is at the end of April. First free content update. So at the end of April, they're incorporating a new Apex monster, at least one other new monster known as Camellios, and then, quote, several other monsters is what the release says. I'm hoping it fills it in and makes it more worthwhile. Otherwise, this is going to be a short-lived Monster Hunter for me. And I'm going to be kind of disappointed at what I got.
Which, I mean, that would be a bummer.
Yeah. Like, the main single-player storyline ended. I think if I wouldn't have done multiplayer, I would have been done the single-player storyline within 5 hours.
Damn.
Yeah. But I don't know my playtime right now because I don't like leave the game, so I don't see what my playtime is when I load my new character up. But like I think I'm at this point probably at 15 to 20, maybe give or take. And I'm almost done everything. I have two sets of missions, two urgent missions. So urgent missions. Like, after you do so many missions in a rank, they give you the urgent mission, which advances you to the next rank. I have two more of those left, I believe. Two or three of those. That's it. And some of the monsters that they chose to have as the main monster for an urgent quest at a high rank, it just makes no sense. There was a fish monster in Monster Hunter World known as Gyarados, which was one of the most basic monsters that you encounter in, like, your second or third mission. At low rank, the first time you fight a Gyarados in Rise is as an urgent quest high rank. And it's just like, why? This is the worst monster ever. Like, he sucks. Why do I have to fight him at high rank? There's so many other better monsters that they have in store. Why do you give me a fucking Gyarados?
Why not?
because they wanted to make people mad, it seems. I don't know.
You're right, you don't know, and it shows.
Yes.
So you're probably not going to play much of that over the next week. You're just going to go back to, Outriders.
I've got Jensen's Wedding stuff over the next couple of days. So I don't really know how much of either I'm going to play, but I plan on mostly alternating back and forth. Not overdoing it for Outriders and not overdoing it for Monster Hunter and just like taking my time on both. But I might have more to say about Monster Hunter next week. But I will definitely have stuff to say about Outriders.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Oh, where were we? Oh, this one is stupid. So CD Projekt Red announced that in 2022, they're going to be starting development on two new AAA games. One is going to be a Witcher title, the other one's going to be a Cyberpunk title.
They should, like, finish the game that they put out last year first.
Yeah, no, exactly, because even with the patches, like, the game is still pretty buggy from what I've seen.
Like, well, I mean, they, like, their big patches that they supposedly started working on haven't even come out yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's, it's supposed to be one sometime in the next month or two, and then another one by the end of the year, I believe, is what they've said.
Yeah. And you still can't buy that game on a PlayStation Digital store.
I was about to say that. Like, it is still unavailable to purchase anywhere else. So, cool, I guess, right? So, on top of that, on top of, like, they have two new AAA games they're going to start working on, they also have said that they are going to release a Witcher 3, like, next-gen update by the end of this year. And it's like, why are you working on this? Why is this even a thing you're working on? You literally have a brand new game that's fucking broken. Like, fix your shit and then start working on other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're probably just trying to make some money because that game didn't go real well. But, I don't know. It definitely doesn't seem like a great move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just... Like we said, have your one game working before you start two more new titles. Like, it's just, it's dumb. It's so dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
why?
Why was that thing you thought was a good idea?
Like, look at what, like, Square Enix did. When 14 was a dumpster fire, they pulled everyone off of everything to get that into A Realm Reborn.
Exactly.
Like, but no, CD Projekt Red, they're like, well, this is a dumpster fire. Oh, by the way, we're going to have two more working dumpster fires.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, who knows? They might not be dumpster fires, we are assuming. But, like, because, like, The Witcher 3, like, it was not perfect when it released, but, like, it wasn't fucking Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
No, but it was pretty rough when it came out.
It did have problems, but a lot of the problems were more, like, people complaining about, like, the way it looked, because it did not look anything like what they had shown it to look like. And, like, that's fine. But, like, I got that game close to launch, and it was totally fine. It was way too long. Like, that game had just too much to do in it. But it still was, like, it was fine. Like, it worked. I was able to play the game without too many issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this just seems like the wrong way to do it. Like, yeah, all the way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they probably won't learn anytime soon.
They won't.
Yeah. Like, they're making their money, so what the fuck do they care?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wanted to mention that because I just thought it was kind of wild that they're going to be working on two new AAA games next year. Like, obviously, we're not going to see them for quite a while, but the fact that, like, they are in production as of next year, that's just absolutely insane. Niantic, also, another quick one, is working on a Pikmin AR game to complement their Pokemon and Harry Potter AR games. I don't know if you guys saw anything about this.
I have not, but I'm totally interested.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, Pikmin definitely fits that mold better than Harry Potter did.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, honestly, like, Pikmin and Pokemon, like, actually make sense for that sort of thing.
Yeah, they do. And I enjoyed playing vanilla Pokemon Go. I have not played Pokemon Go in so long that, like, there's so much that I don't even know about it now. That I feel like if I were to try to get back into it, I'd just be lost. But
nah, you'd be fine.
A Pikmin AR game, I might be okay. It'd take me a while to actually fully understand everything that's going on again.
It really wouldn't. Like, haven't changed that much. Like, I dip into it every once in a while. Like, it's still basically the same game. They broke things up a little bit more to make it easier. And they added, like, there's now a free box every day with, like, a couple Pokeballs and, like, some potions in it.
Okay.
And there's Team Rocket balloons instead of always having to go to stops to fight the bosses.
Well, I mean, that's all pandemic stuff.
Oh,
they did that because of the pandemic. They, like, people weren't going out. They were trying to promote stay at home. So they did everything they could to increase the amount of playability for people staying at home.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, it seems to have worked. Like, all that stuff's fine. Like, you can get remote raid passes and you can only have three at a time, but, like, they give them away a lot. So, like, unless you're actually, like, doing, like, a bunch of raids at a time, like, you don't ever have to spend money on them or anything.
Yeah.
But,
But a Pikmin AR, I love Pikmin. I want to get the Pikmin 3. I had it on my Wii U. I've been thinking of getting it on the Switch.
It's a fun little game.
It is. They're always like just sweet, fun, silly games. That I'd definitely be down on trying out a Pikmin AR.
Yeah, it would be a good choice. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Avengers, you got around to playing the Future Imperfect stuff?
Yes. Did you?
I did not. I haven't even turned that game on since I finished the story, because I want to get the actually I might try and do that tonight before the month ends, so that I can eat the data and everything at the end of the month instead of at the beginning of next month.
For what do you mean?
To like download the patch and everything for the PS5 version.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Try. I mean, you don't really need the PS5 version for it. The game runs fine on the PS4 version. I did get the PS5 version. It runs smoother. It runs a lot smoother. But I have it in it gives you two options of what modes to play, and I have it set to one is like peak performance and one is like peak smoothness or something.
It's usually performance and fidelity.
Yeah, and so I have, I guess, fidelity, like to where it runs smoother. It's not at its most beautiful, but it runs smoother and it looks nicer. Well, and it's,
no, that would be performance. Fidelity.
I have it set to performance. And so it does run better. It's a lot smoother. And it was like kind of jarring to get into it at first based on how I remembered it playing. Yeah. So like it is, it's not totally necessary, but it is kind of worth it.
I mean, do the load screens get any better?
The load screens were fine on the PS4 version on PS5.
I mean, compared to other games, that game still takes an excruciating amount of time to load.
But compared to how long it used to take to load?
I mean, that's fair.
It took no time at
that's
all.
That's fair. Like, I never played it on PS4. But
you didn't play it on PS4. Like, the load times weren't as bad as it was on PS4. And, I thought it loaded, like, fast enough when it was just a PS4 version. Eric said the load times are fantastic on the PS5 version, but I feel like that's more just the PS5 and less the version.
No, because...
But they might have...
The PS4 version of that on the PS5 still... Like, I get it. Like, because you played it on PS4, you remember, like, the really bad load times.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, like, those load times are rough compared to... It's 30 seconds if you die. You have to wait 30 seconds to be able to play the game if you die. Or fail like a jump or something.
I mean, I didn't really die, so I wouldn't.
I was having issues with Cap in that first, the first bit of Cap when you're running through the space station. I kept messing up the wall run, and it's a one and done. Like you do it once and you die. And then there was a scene near the end with Cap where you had to jump, but you had to hit something with your shield first, and I did not see the thing to hit with the shield. So I was trying a bunch of different stuff, like to see if there was something to like wall run off of or like double jump off of. So I kept dying and having to wait 30 seconds for it to reload.
No, I don't remember having any issues like that.
Those load times are not great.
But for the update though, like the Future Imperfect stuff, Clint is fun to play as. He is different. He even though they're both archers, he plays very different, in my opinion, than Kate does. They were able to differentiate the two characters well enough to where even though they're kind of the same character, style-wise, they differentiate enough that, like, they feel like two different playable characters.
Okay.
His specials are pretty cool. One of them is a heal aura that he drops down. Another one is just, like, a flurry of arrows, and as you increase his level and get his upgrades, can become either fire, lightning, or ice damage. And then his ultimate is Yondu's weapon from Guardians of the Galaxy, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, that is kind of cool.
Yeah, you use it, and he like slides an arrow on the ground and pulls and looses it, releases it, and it just flies around. And I think at max you can have it hit up to 20 enemies, and it does some pretty high damage, which is pretty good. His play style, he's less agile than Kate, so he feels a little bit more of a hard hitter. He uses a sword still, but that's just because that's it's Clint. I guess he's always used swords. I don't know.
I mean, not like he knows how to use a sword, but I feel like he didn't really use a sword until he was Ronin.
Yeah. So, and this is probably post Ronin for a while.
Assuming he was ever Ronin in this timeline.
Yeah. And overall, like, he's fun to play as. The storyline content for Future Imperfect kind of underwhelming.
Really?
Like, it how it ends is it just ends. Like, you did Kate's, right?
No, I haven't done any of that. I only did the campaign.
Oh. So, with Kate's stuff, it actually runs you through a story where she's trying to, like, it's exciting and you're actually trying to stop something and do something, and you end up going into a whole portion where you're trying to save the world and whatever and save Clint, and then, like, Clint comes and like, you rescue him, and then he, and I already spoiled this for you a while ago, so that's why I'm openly talking about it now. And then he just passes out, and he's, like, quote, time sick or whatever. And so it's like, oh no, it leaves you on a cliffhanger. This one doesn't really have anything like that. At least not in the main storyline. There might be something in the Avengers Initiative thing that might feed it forward more, but I don't know. Like, the area, the regions you go to, the wastelands were pretty cool. You didn't really fight any new enemies, which was kind of frustrating. They were all just mostly robots and watchdogs and nothing new. Which, like, you're in this world where you're, like, the Earth is destroyed in the future. Why aren't you fighting Kree and shit like that? Like, why aren't there Kree on this one? No, it was kind of a letdown, as well. Like, just underwhelming, and how it ends, it just ends. Like, I don't know how much you're interested in hearing spoilers or whatever.
I don't want spoilers, because I will get around to playing it eventually.
But, like, it was a cool little thing to do, but it's shorter than Kate's, and it just, like I said, it just ends, and it's kind of bullshit.
That's,
like,
that's a bummer.
Yeah, and you'll understand more when you actually play it, like, why, what I'm getting at. Like, the whole point of this thing is you go into the future, you know you go into the future, because you've seen the trailers and stuff. You go into the future to find Nick Fury.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Well, it's future imperfect. Like, you're in the future.
That's not what future imperfect is in the comics. But
you've seen the trailers and stuff, though. At least
I've never watched them with sound. I just knew that it was future imperfect.
Well, yeah. So you go into the future to find Nick Fury. That's like, and then it just ends, and I'm just like, this is dumb. It's a letdown. Like, I feel bad for you because you bought it primarily for future imperfect. And I don't think it's going to be anything of what you want it to be.
I mean, that's fair.
But Clint's fun to play as. And I want to futz around with the game a little bit more to see, like, if it, like, opens up more in the Avengers Initiative portion of the game. Or if that's just it. And we're done until later this year for
Black Panther,
Wakanda, Black Panther, and their raids and stuff that they're supposed to be adding throughout the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, that is a bummer that, like, it just kind of ends,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully all of their content stuff works out and people actually want to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping right now, is that they can bring in some endgame content to make it worthwhile. But for right now, with how much of a letdown the ending of this portion was, like, I won't play it again until Wakanda comes.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
So, just keeping with comic booky things, Marvel announced this week that they are going to be cutting ties with Diamond comic distributors the same way DC did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because I feel like I remember Marvel kind of, like, you know, it in so much as they could, talking shit about DC doing that. So in case you guys don't remember, Diamond Comics Distributors was the company that basically sent books to all of the comic stores. So all of your, like, local comic book shops would order books based on the Diamond order list. And that's where, you know, Marvel, DC, Image, Boom, IDW, like, all, that's where all of those books got distributed from. DC moved to another, I forget who DC's actually working with now, but, like, they moved away from that last year when comics were not being shipped, because Diamond shut down distribution for those first few months of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And now Marvel is making a similar move. They're going to be working with Penguin Random House as their distributor going forward. It's going to actually be starting in October, and they're going to be distributing their monthly and trade paperbacks to comic book shops. Hatchet Book Group is the company that, like, goes to, like, the bookstore, like, that sends, like, your trade paperbacks and stuff to bookstores, to, like, your Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that. They will still be handling that side of it. It looks like if like your local comic book shops though want to still order this stuff through Diamond, they'll be able to do that, but Diamond will actually have to go through Penguin to get those things. So it's not known if that will cause any sort of like markup on how it goes, because as it stands now, like, and every comic book shop is different, but like your bigger shops actually get discounts on books when they order them. So like in some areas, if there are like multiple comic book shops, one store will actually order inventory for multiple stores. This way, they all basically get a cheaper rate on the books. So like we actually have a lot of comic book shops in this area. So I know like at one point a few of them were doing that, where like the biggest of like three or four shops would order books for all four, and then they usually come in like a day or two before New Comic Book Day. They would just send them, like, either those shops would come pick them up or they would send them over or whatnot. I don't know how common that still is, but with Diamond not being the direct distributor anymore, we don't know if there's going to now be shipping delays on things if you're trying to order it from Diamond, or if the price is just going to go up because Diamond now has to pay Penguin to get books and then to also ship them out afterwards too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that like the consumer will see a huge markup, because comic book shops basically just charge cover price. Like whatever the book says its costs is what they charge for it. Unless it's like a back issue. Back issues are usually the ones that get a markup to them.
Yeah.
So we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens there. But either like comic book shops are either going to have to go through Penguin House, or they might like start losing money on some of these orders. And it's just, it's weird because like Diamond really was they had a monopoly on that market for a long time. Like that was the place for places to buy like monthly comic books to sell in their stores for at least 20 years, probably longer than that. I'm not really sure how long Diamond's been around, but yeah. So comic books are changing.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is. It's just weird. It's weird to think that like just these like normal publishing house distributors are going to be like doing that stuff now. Because, like, frankly, like, historically, like, I feel like books, like actual, like normal novels and prose and stuff like that, I feel like that sector always kind of just looked down on comics. But now it's like, oh, no, like, these things are responsible for billion-dollar franchises now. Like, let's make some money off of this.
Yeah.
So I watched a bunch of stuff this week. Like, that's basically how my week went. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on anything. I'm just going to run through them real quick. We finished watching Angel. The first three seasons of that show are actually pretty good. The last two, not as much. Especially the last one was definitely the weakest, even though like they introduced one of the better characters from like that universe came over. Spike from Buffy came over to Angel for the last season because Buffy was already over.
Yeah, that's right.
And like those, like Angel and Spike had the best dynamic, and like those two actors had a lot of good chemistry. But like that whole last season of Angel, just kind of weird. Like, just felt off and different from everything that came before it. Like, almost like it didn't, like, the characters didn't even always feel like they were the same character.
Yeah.
But still, like, 3.5 good seasons and, like, 1.5, 2, like, mediocre. Like, that's still not bad for a show. It's like 120 episodes or something like that.
Yeah.
We also watched over the weekend the movie Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I don't know if either of you guys have heard.
Nope.
It came out in 2019.
Okay.
It's so I thought it was actually like a kid's movie. Like not a kid's movie, but like Goosebumps. Like not really like a horror movie. It involves children, but it's definitely got like a real horror vibe to it. It's basically like a bunch of kids go into a haunted house and some shit goes wrong and they end up leaving with like a book that apparently belonged to the woman that used to live there that went crazy. And the book starts writing its own stories, like, in blood, it looks like, but about people that, like, are in the movie. So, like, the first one, it writes a story about a bully and basically how the bully dies. But it's never just, like, it's not like Death Note where it's just like, oh, like, he got hit by a car and that was that. Like, it's always something, like, creepy, and it seems like they're playing off of, like, the fears of the people that it's being written about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, just a lot of weird monsters show up, and it's actually a really interesting kind of, like, idea. It's based in the 60s, too, so, like, they don't have cell phones or anything like that. Like, when they start figuring this stuff out, they have to, like, call people and hope they're home, and they don't really know if, like, something already happened to them because a story's being written already.
Yeah.
But it's like $3 to actually purchase on Amazon. Like, it's not even a rental. But it's definitely worth checking out if you're looking for something that has like the horror vibe, but isn't like full of jump scare and like bullshit.
Well, it is based on a children's book entitled "Scary Stories to Tell in Dark."
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I googled it because I do remember the title. Produced by Guillermo del Toro, so yeah. You know it's got
to
be good.
Yeah, and it really was. Like, it's definitely worth watching. Don't go into it expecting to be actually like scared, but it was good for what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched the Stand miniseries based on the Stephen King book. It's unfortunately on Paramount Plus, so only watch it if you can get a free trial. Which you should be able to get a free trial and watch it.
I can't.
Why?
Because unless they give me another free trial, I already had one for the Super Bowl. So
just use a different email address.
Yeah, I guess I could. I'd have to. Yeah, I guess I could.
Like, use your OneQuest email address.
Yeah.
It's 9 episodes though. It's got a pretty good cast. Cyclops is in it. The original Cyclops. James Marsden, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
I'm really bad with names today. Eric from True Blood is the villain.
It's Alexander Skarsgård.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah, he's the villain. Bunch of other like recognizable people. Like, did either of you watch Orange Is the New Black?
No,
I watched a decent amount of it.
Did you get to the season where, like, the new company took over and the one real douchey guard came in? Like, big guy with a beard? He was, like, the guy in charge and he acted like he was, like, a drill instructor?
I don't know if I watched any of them.
Okay, I can't remember what season it was, but basically, that guy is, like, the epitome of actors are not the characters they play. Because in Orange Is the New Black, like, he's awful. He's just a giant piece of shit. And this... he's probably the most likable character in the whole thing. And, like, that show's really not full of people you hate. Like, the bad people are definitely, like, awful. But, like, all the good people are, like, generally pretty decent people. But he plays a guy who has, like, not severe autism, but, like, pretty bad. But, like, he's just so likable, like, the whole time. Like, every time you think something bad happens to him... you're just, like, devastated because you're like, oh, no, like, is he okay? But, like, Whoopi Goldberg's in it. Like, just, it's got a really good cast, but it's a very timely miniseries. It's about a viral version of the plague, or a weaponized version of the flu. I don't know why I said the plague. A weaponized version of the flu ends up spreading around the world and murders, like, 1.3 billion people or something like that. To the point where, like, there's only a handful of people left that are immune to it, that just don't get sick when they're around it. But, like, it's fucking bad. Like people's necks swell up with mucus and stuff like that. It's so bad. And, yeah, so it's a bunch of people basically... the first couple episodes are people traveling to this, like, settlement in, like, Colorado. Because this dream version of Whoopi Goldberg is showing up and telling them to come to Colorado.
Okay.
Meanwhile, like, the bad people are all congregating in Vegas around Alexander Skarsgård's character. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, some sort of supernatural powers. Like, he is definitely, like, a, like, evil incarnate, basically.
Yeah.
But it is. It's cool and definitely went someplace I didn't expect. And it's based on a 40-year-old book that I've never read because it's, like, 7,000 pages.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Sarah, but... the, like, full unabridged version, and it is seriously, like, 1,800 pages or something.
Yeah, and I don't like Stephen King's writing. Like, I think he actually tells really good stories, and I like them generally when they're made into decent movies, but I've just never been able to get into his actual writing style. He's a little too descriptive. He spends too much time on, like, the minor details, which I get, like, helps draw people in and actually be scared by this stuff, but I just get bored when he spends, like, 5 pages describing, like, the wallpaper in a house.
Yeah.
But this miniseries was definitely worth it. He wrote the finale, like, the final episode.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. Paramount Plus, if you want to check that out. And then I watched the first 3 episodes of Invincible on Amazon Prime.
Nice. How is that? Because I see trailers for it constantly.
So it's really good. And I actually messaged you yesterday and told you should check it out.
Yeah.
So it's based on Robert Kirkman's other long-running comic book series, Invincible. Which is his take on, like, the Justice League, basically. The first episode, there is literally, they're called Guardians of the Globe. And every member is some sort of stand-in for a Justice League member. There's a Batman, there's a Superman, there's a Wonder Woman, there's a Aquaman, a Green Lantern, and a Flash, and a Martian Manhunter. But, like, it's basically, it's kind of like a world where, like a My Hero kind of world, where there are a lot of people with powers, and the government does have, like, kind of a say in some of it, by, like, basically having these government-run superhero teams.
Yeah.
And so, like the Guardians of the Globe are, like, the team, whereas some of the other ones are, like, the Teen Titans, basically, where it's just a bunch of other, like, younger heroes. The show's about Invincible, who is actually the son of this universe's Superman. So he gets all of those sorts of powers, but they don't manifest until he's, like, 17.
Yeah.
So it's basically, like, the first few episodes are basically him kind of, like, learning about his powers and trying to become a hero. But it's super dark and gruesome. Like, there's a lot of murder. There's a lot of blood. A lot of foul language. And definitely not, like, your normal superhero stuff. Like, it's nothing like you'd expect it to be, having watched, like, DC and MCU movies and TV shows and stuff like that. Biggest complaint, though, the animation isn't great. Like, at times, it's good. At times, it looks good, and some of the action looks okay. But a lot of the time, it kind of reminds me of some of those, like, old, like, Adult Swim shows, where the characters don't quite line up with the backgrounds correctly, and they just seem like they're moving at, like, a weird frame rate, and they're kind of, like, jittery and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. From what I've seen, it, like, seems like kind of, like, an updated version of an old-schooly cartoony. And that's totally weird to say, but I feel like you might understand what I'm getting at. And, like, it doesn't, it's like, because it also has, like, very thick lines and stuff around it, I believe.
Yeah, and, like, all, like, the art style is actually really good. It's just the animation feels like, and I don't know if it was a choice to make it animated kind of, like, clunky like that, or if it's just, like, they didn't have the budget to do, like, really smooth, like, hundreds of frames per thing animation.
It was, let's face it, it's a Kirkman property. They had the budget. It was a choice.
It's also Amazon. I don't know how Amazon is when it comes to that sort of money. Or, like, when it comes to, like, those sorts of things. Like, because with animation, it's a little different. Like, with live action, you can do the first couple of episodes and just keep, like, large sets to a minimum. And if the first three episodes or whatever do well, then you know you can do more. But with animation, like, you kind of have to get, like, a really big leadway on that because it takes so long to do them.
Yeah.
But if you can get past, like, the clunky animation, like, it's actually super cool. I enjoyed it a whole bunch. It's got a stellar voice cast. Lots of Walking Dead people in it at one point or another. The main character, Mark Invincible, is Glenn.
Nice.
The entire original Global Guardians are former Walking Dead characters.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't remember everyone off the top of my head, but I know, like, Lauren Cohan was there, Sonequa Martin-Green, Michael Cudlitz, what was his name? The big black guy with the hammer, way better in the comics than he ever was on the show.
Big guy with a hammer?
You read up to All Out War, right?
Yeah, I read through All Out War.
So, in the Walking Dead comic, there was the black dude, they meet, like, he shows up around the prison time. At one point, he gets locked in the gymnasium with them.
Oh,
and takes
Tyrese.
Tyrese, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't remember his actor's name either, but Tyrese's voice is in that. A handful of other people.
Cary Payton in it?
Actually, yeah. I want to say he was the Aquaman?
Okay.
Person?
Nice.
Yeah, like, I forget who, the Flash character stand-in is, like, Russian. But it's one of those people, and you would not recognize his voice for anything. There's even a guy on like the teen team who I can't pronounce the guy's last name right. Jason, like, Manalizukis or something like that. He's super funny. He's been on, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was the cologne guy on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Jason Manzakis.
Is that how you say his last name?
I believe so.
Okay, there's too many letters in it. I don't know how to pronounce it. But he's one of the voices, and he is probably the funniest character on the show. And then J.K. Simmons is the Omni-Man, which is the Superman analog.
Yeah.
Which, he even kind of looks like J.K. Simmons. Like, he has a mustache and stuff like that.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that That show was really good, though. It's definitely worth, if you have Amazon Prime, it's worth checking it out. There are longer episodes, too.
Awesome. I've actually was looking for something to watch, just the other day, just to, like, fill time, but, like, while eating, because I'm done, I caught up to My Hero, obviously. So, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, if you, there are, like, 45 to 50 minute episodes. A lot of these episodes, though, at least in those first three, they'll have, like, an ending, and, like, the first few credits will roll, but then the show will come back, and it'll have, like, another 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the first episode in particular, it's got, like, 5 seconds of credits, and then another 15 minutes of show happen after that.
Nice.
So it's kind of like a big fuck you. Like, I was about to stop it. I'm like, why is there still, like, 15 minutes left in this? I waited a second, and all of a sudden there was more show. So I thought it was just, like, WandaVision credits. Like, they were just going to go on longer than the show it did. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So The Flash cast a Bart Allen, which is weird. Jordan Fisher is going to play the character this season.
I wonder, because you wrote that Bart is Barry's grandson, right?
Yeah, it looks like every article I've read about this, apparently for the CW, it is going to be their future son. So I don't know if this character is replacing Nora.
I mean, could be, or they could just have two children in this now universe.
Which that is how, like, in the future, they have two children, I believe, and then they have two grandchildren that have come back in time. Bart's pretty popular, though. He's been around since, like, the early to mid-90s, and, yeah, he's Impulse. He tends to be hyperactive and mischievous, so, like, he gets into trouble, but he is a hero. He is a speedster and everything, like you'd assume.
Yeah,
but
is he going to be in this season or next season?
This season, apparently.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Probably nice. Probably on the later half of it, I assume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I didn't know who this guy was ahead of time, but, like, he's been he has done a lot of, like, Broadway stuff from the looks of it. Like, he was Evan Hansen in Dear Evan Hansen. He was on Netflix, To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You. He was, there was another play he was in Hamilton for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, he played, Philip Hamilton in Hamilton from 2016 to 2017.
Nice.
So, honestly, a lot of times, if you can act on stage, it doesn't always transition well to, like, acting on film. But I feel like those two plays in particular are big enough that, like, they definitely had, like, good actors in them. So he will probably do all right in this. Oh, and you know what? I missed this from when I read the article. He's going to appear in the 150th episode, which is going to air later this season.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's probably not too far away.
No, not at all. Now that I watched Godzilla this morning, I can get back to watching my CW show.
But you won't.
Oh, no, I plan on doing that, over the next couple of days.
Yeah, Supergirl just came back last night.
Nice. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, because it looks like, Superman and Lois is on hiatus until, like, the end of May, and Supergirl is running in their time slot for now. They apparently, I missed this news when it happened, they apparently got shut down because of COVID during production. So, like, they literally have a gap where, like, they're not done any more episodes at the moment.
Yeah.
So they're basically, like, taking a hiatus to catch back up on episodes, and then I don't know if Supergirl will transition to another night after that.
I have a feeling, like, Batwoman will end before Superman comes back or something, and maybe...
It's possible.
They'll move Superwoman or Supergirl over there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. You also threw this one in here with CW stuff. They cast Donald Faison as Professor... I never watched Powerpuff Girls. Is it Utonium?
Utonium. Or it's probably... But it's Utonium.
For
Powerpuff Girls. So, I love Scrubs, and I listened to their podcast, and when I saw this yesterday, I was just like, just give him a nice shout-out. But yeah, Donald Faison is Professor Utonium in the live-action Powerpuff.
Which, like, that's cool. Like, I like that actor. Like, I've never actually watched all of Scrubs, but I've seen enough of it to know that Turk was probably the best part of that show.
I just started my second, maybe third quarantine watch through. Now that Parks and The Office aren't on, I need to find something new to watch sometimes.
Yeah, like, I mean, you watch shows weird, though. Like, you watch them before bed. Like, I don't. I just fucking go to sleep like a normal person.
Well, I mean, I don't watch this before bed because it's on Hulu, and my iPad's so old that I can't play Hulu on it. It cannot take the update on Hulu.
Oh, God, really?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm stuck with Netflix. So I'm watching New Girl for like the umpteenth time this year.
Have you thought about trying to upload your iPad to see what would happen?
I've tried updating and there's no updates available for my iPad. And when I try to like update things on my iPad, Hulu is not one of them. And it says your version of Hulu is outdated. It's weird.
That's a bummer. No, I didn't mean update Hulu. I meant update like the iPad OS.
I've tried updating. There's no updates available for the iPad OS.
Oh, wow. So yours is just so old that it can't even get a new version.
It's 8 years old, man.
It's still
nine. It's Apple, 9 years old.
Apple usually lets you download updates forever on like other stuff. I didn't realize that they didn't let you do that on the iPad.
There's usually a cap with Apple. Like it's about a 2 to 3 year cap. Like after about 3 years, they no longer release updates on products that are that old.
My laptop is 7 years old and 6 years old, and
I feel like the laptop might be a little bit different. I'm more so for like their phones and like the iPad
and iPhones. They do still release the updates on iPhones. Like I have clients that have 6 year old iPhones that are still relatively up to date. They don't work well, but they're still up to date.
I remember there are iPhones that can't get certain updates.
Oh yeah, at a certain point they do limit that, but they do last for a while.
Yeah.
But you wanted to bring up something about that you noticed between King of Monsters and Godzilla 2014?
Yeah, so we ran through the show quickly because there's a major kaiju discussion we get to have. And this week was another double feature. Last week was double feature with Kong Skull Island and 2014 Godzilla. And this week was King of Monsters and Godzilla vs. King Kong. I actually woke up at 6 o'clock this morning to watch it before work.
I actually did manage to watch it this afternoon.
Nice. So we have, within recent weeks, Cobb, you talked about King of Monsters. I talked about it within King recent months. Obviously, I like it. You don't. I'm not going to get into that. But there are a few like little things that I never caught in my previous watch-throughs, more specifically in King of Monsters, but between the two of them, that kind of blows my mind that they did this for like fan service or fanfare. For one, Ken Watanabe plays Dr. Serizawa. Dr. Serizawa is the creator of the Oxygen Destroyer in 1954's Godzilla, which they used to kill Godzilla in 1954.
And don't they try to use a bomb like that in Destroy All Monsters?
That's another thing that like I didn't realize until in King of Monsters.
King of Monsters, right.
They use a quote, Oxygen Destroyer to attack Godzilla and Ghidorah in the oceans outside of Mexico during the whole Rodan sequence. The cool thing about that, besides them just calling out the Oxygen Destroyer, is when they show the schematics of it, it looks exactly like what the Oxygen Destroyer looked like in 50, which is just like this ball with these two bars holding it. It's interesting, but it was really cool. Like, one of those nods to that, like, I got so excited for after realizing that that's what they were using, because this potentially opens the door for Destroya. Because the only reason we get Godzilla vs. Destroya is because of the Oxygen Destroyer from 1954, and then them creating, quote, micro-oxygen, and Destroyer then evolves into what we know as Destroya at the end of that movie from 97.
Okay.
So I was just like, that's like one of the things, and like, they had a handful of other nods that like, I never caught before. At the very beginning, when you hear the noises coming from Mothra in really early on, the noise they use is the actual Mothra noise, but they only use it that one time. Which was kind of cool as well. I had mentioned this before, that they keep the same soundtrack as the Godzilla, Japanese Godzilla films, which is a great soundtrack. Like the Godzilla theme is such a good theme. And then the last one, which is kind of minor, but when Godzilla's overcharged with radiation, he glows red, which is similar to how he was in Godzilla vs. Destroyer. When he, after Bath Island, erupted, in Godzilla vs. Destroya, he was glowing red and over-irradiated. He was actually going to blow up. And he's such a big bomb in that he, if he blew up, he would have destroyed the Earth. So they needed to find a way to reduce his radiation so that when he did explode, he wasn't going to destroy the Earth. Godzilla vs. Destroya is really good. But like those were just a handful of like, oh, I never noticed this before without having watched Godzilla, the previous Godzillas, and then watching this one. It's just, like, kind of cool nods that they did that, like, also maybe brings in potential heart, like, Destoroyah is Godzilla's most powerful foe. That, like, it's just like, oh, I hope they do that. I really do.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But with that, today was the release of Godzilla vs. Kong, and the two of us who care got to watch it. Do we want to do spoiler cast, or we want to just...
I don't think we should do spoilers, since it literally came out today.
Yeah. But overall, I really enjoyed it. There were a few minor issues that I wasn't really, like, too thrilled with. One of them being, the Japanese villain is also named Sarazawa, and is the child of Ken Watanabe's character, who has never been mentioned before this movie.
Yeah, and then, like, they flat out told you it was his son, but it sounds like he just worked for this robotics company.
Did they? I missed that then. I missed...
When the one guy and that guy go to talk to Alexander Skarsgård's character... The like CEO or whatever introduces him and says he is Dr. Whatever's son.
Okay, I totally missed that when I was watching it this morning then. But like, I'm just like, come on, like, really? Like, he was like, he did not follow in his father's footsteps, obviously. Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer, because his father was all about protect the kaiju, and then this character, he's one of the lead villains. It's like, no. Kill the kaiju. So that was like one of my biggest issues with the movie was that character, or just that idea that he is Serizawa's son. But besides that, I enjoyed it. The acting was on par with the acting that you would expect of a movie of this caliber. The soundtrack was good. The fight sequences were really good. And I feel like you might have enjoyed this one a lot more than any of the others, because it did make a much larger focus on the monsters than on the humans than other.
No, and I did like I liked the I particularly liked the King Kong parts, like they, because they were at least interesting. Like even the people on that side of it were interesting. Whereas I didn't really care about like the three other people like sneaking around the bad guy's lair, basically.
Yeah, The Godzilla stuff, like, or not Godzilla, the King Kong stuff, that's what really pushed the story forward, and it also created the whole, like, confrontation in general. Whereas the stuff with Millie Bobby Brown, what's her character's name?
Madison, I think?
Madison. Madison and her friend and that guy, like, that stuff was, like, kind of, it was a little too over the top. And out of the realm of believability, even in something such as this, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, that whole sequence just felt weird. Yeah.
I would have been fine if they cut out Madison entirely and just had it as the podcaster. And he was doing all of this with, like, friends of his. I don't think they needed to have the connection with Madison. And, I her becoming just a conspiracy theorist just does not seem to fit with her character.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even, like, the character that she played, like, between the first movie, or not the first movie, but the last movie and this one, it, like, that just seemed, like, a little wild for her to be, like, all on board. Like, I could understand following this dude's podcast, but she seemed very ingrained in, like, that conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah, and, like, I understand her having, like, the potential connection with Godzilla and, he's bothered by something. I understand that. But, like, yeah, the full-on, like, conspiracy theorist, like, lizard people stuff, I don't know if she was just egging him on or if she actually was supposed to believe it.
Yeah. Whereas at least with like the King Kong side of it, like all of those people actually felt like they gave a shit about Kong. Yeah. Especially like the woman and her daughter.
Yeah. And it was also, and it sucks that it's all on like the Godzilla aspect of it. It's out of character for, it seemed to me like to be out of character for Madison's dad to just brush her off.
I don't know. That actually seems a little all right. And he seems to be so wrapped up in whatever thing he's doing now.
Well, he was emergency response outside of Pensacola for the Godzilla attack. That's what I think it looked like it was supposed to be.
No, like, that's definitely what he is, but, like, he definitely isn't just with, like, Red Cross. Like, I don't know if he's part of Monarch or something like that now.
Yeah, he was still part of Monarch, which, like, it also bothered me at the end after the conference, after everything. Like, you had the woman from Monarch who was with Kong. Like, why weren't they, like, talk? They, like, they should have been like, oh, I'm from the Kong outpost, and I'm the Kaiju response, or the Muta response team, or something.
I did actually enjoy that they never actually had either of those groups acknowledge each other.
I felt like, just at the end, like, a quick nod, or, like, not, nothing too substantial, but just, like, a quick nod could have added, like, a smidge to it. Nothing, like, major, though.
Well, because, like, it wasn't... If you figure, like... He had nothing to do with any, like, he was barely part of the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, it makes sense. Like, the other three were not officially supposed to be anywhere. They just happened to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Neither side knew what the, like, the people that were with Kong the whole time have no idea where the villain at the end came from.
Yeah.
Also, the middle, as much as I enjoyed, like, the Kong stuff, like, that thing they were trying to do and, like, that section where they do it, just felt weird. Like, I feel like there are so many other things they could have done with that instead. Like, I get that it worked out for the end of the movie, but it just felt a little unnecessary. Like, they could have done something else that maybe had the tensions a little higher still, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, if what you're talking, if I'm getting what you're talking about, then yeah, like, it was a little, seemed a little forced, the whole scenario with the axe.
Well, the axe and just, like, where the axe came from and all, like, and the fact that they suddenly have these weird, like, hover spaceship-looking things to fly around in.
It's an advanced... It's advanced bionics. Like, it's advanced robotics. They even kind of get into it a little bit as to why they were able to have those from, you know, monsters. Muto, waste, and such can be used as energy sources. So... the reason they were probably able to build those was because of how they were able to control the big bad at the end.
Oh, yeah, I guess that does make some amount of sense. Also, like, yeah. For as much as they were trying to, like, humanize Kong, I felt like they did miss a part at the end. Not at the end, but, like, at that point where, like, the people that were with the bad guys pulled guns on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like literally pulled guns and pointed them at that little girl. That they didn't just have Kong just fucking swipe all of them. Like, he still ended up dealing with them at the end, but it was completely disconnected from that moment.
He like roared at him or something, didn't he?
He roared, but it was because everything else was going on, because
I took it that he roared because of the guns at the girl, and then everything else started happening because of what was going on with Godzilla.
That's not how I took it, because there was already other stuff starting to happen too. But, like, I just think it would have been a little more, like, it would have humanized him even more to see that he has, like, he does have an attachment to the child that they were trying to, like, they're trying to, like, make you feel that way, but, like, they never really showed it other than, like, he would sign to her.
Yeah, like, they did a good job. They could have done a better job, but they did do a good job.
Just that, that's, like, the one thing with Kong that I'm just like, you know, like, this is the scene you should have done rather than what you did do.
Yeah, because what they did do is he ended up grabbing the thing and looking inside to see if she was in there. And when he found out she wasn't, he crushed it.
Yeah, or even when the weird bat bird creatures were attacking them. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, just having that moment of him actually going out of his way to, like, help them. Because, like, I get it. Like he was basically being held captive, too, and was not thrilled with it. But he obviously cared about the kid.
Yeah.
So it would have just been like, okay, well, like, this human you seem to trust and care about. So, like, just, like, show that in the movie a little bit better. Like,
yeah.
Like, have that one scene where it's just obvious and then go about your business.
Yeah. And I will say, I really like what they did with the big bad and how, like how they controlled the big bad. I don't like how the Big Bad looks.
I didn't like that either. And I mean, like, it's been spoiled already. The Big Bad's Mechagodzilla. Like,
yeah.
Like, everyone kind of, like, it's been all over the internet and on, like, ads and stuff like that and in merchandise.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, there was a Mechagodzilla Funko Pop released with the Godzilla vs. King Kong title graphic on it 3 months ago.
Yeah, but Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I thought it was neat what they did with them, but I thought the actual look of it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So, like, it seemed like they took more reference in Ready Player One than they did Mechagodzilla in any other form ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I got a strong Ready Player One Mechagodzilla. And they really dropped the ball, in my opinion, and this is just having watched all these Godzilla movies, it's something I said to you back when we were speculating that Mechagodzilla was in it, that Mechagodzilla's eyes are always yellow. Every form Mechagodzilla ever has, his eyes are yellow. So they really kind of like missed a beat when the eyes were going crazy. They should have went yellow. To me, I would have just like jumped out of my chair and been like so ecstatic for that.
Yeah, I guess that would have made sense.
Like, it's something small for me that you wouldn't have really cared about, but for me and someone who, like, really loves these movies, would have just been like a, oh my god, they actually, like, they recognize something like this. Like, that's just so dumb, but it's still so cool if they would have done it.
Yeah. I also just want to say, I really hated where, like, the podcast dude is like, it's a robot Godzilla, and then the weird British kid goes, no, it's a Mecha Godzilla. I'm like, no, fuck yeah. You, dude.
I was like, come on. Come on, kid. Like,
it's a giant fucking robot. Get over yourself.
Yeah. I just, come on.
Like, because it was different when, like, the dude in charge called it Mechagodzilla. Because yeah, it's like, it was his thing. But no, kid, yeah. You're not going to see this thing and call it a Mechagodzilla. There's no way in hell.
No, not at all. But overall, I thought it was a great movie, a fun movie. I'm definitely going to watch it at least, like, 17 more times before it comes off of HBO Max. And it was worth the wait.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more than any of the other Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Like, put together. Like, I would actually not be upset to watch that again. Because, like, I was working while I was watching it, so I'm sure there's plenty of things I missed. Yeah. Whereas, like, if I never see the Godzilla movies again, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, the one, like, minor letdown, and, like, no, not every movie has to have a credit stinger, but all of these movies, Godzilla movies, have had, or like Monster Universe movies, have had a credit stinger that I just kind of wish they would have done something with this one.
Yeah, that I was a little surprised that they didn't allude to something for like, because you know they're going to do more.
Yeah, and like I was saying, like maybe Destoroyah, or we still have the villain from King of Monsters. With that one Ghidorah head, like, is he working on a Mecha King Ghidorah? I hope they don't go that route, and I would love to see a Destoroyah instead. But, like, there's things they could have done, or give us other monsters, other Godzilla monsters, or something like that. But I was reading online while I was checking to see if there was a credit scene, that the final scenes that we saw with Kong in that location from earlier, at the new base, and Godzilla like going into the ocean, those were actually supposed to be the credit scenes. That they were just like, it doesn't really add much having them as credit scenes. Let's just keep as part of the finale.
Your cat agrees.
It's Drew's cat, yes.
That was my cat.
Oh, well, Drew, your cat agrees apparently.
Apparently.
But yeah, I thought it was. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. But
yeah.
Also, they did focus on the monsters a lot, and particularly, like, they focused on Kong a lot.
Yeah, and when I was watching it, that was one thing that came to mind. I was like, Cobb, you're going to really like this one, because they do focus, or not really like it, but you're going to like it more, because they focus a lot more on the monsters and less on the actual, like, human side story, and, like...
And they do give, like, legitimate reason for why Godzilla is attacking things.
Yeah, well, the base reason is he senses the threat with Mecha Godzilla, but then he also, they're two alphas. Like, Godzilla yeah. and Kong are two alphas, so he's, like, he has to show that he is the main alpha. He didn't necessarily have to kill Kong, he just had to prove to Kong that he was the alpha.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I guess that is probably going to do it for this week, unless either of you have anything else you want to talk about.
Nope.
I think it's pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Short week this week. Just there was a lot of news, and we didn't do a whole lot. Like Richie did a lot, but like it was Monster Hunter, and who the fuck cares about Monster Hunter, right? Even Richie doesn't care about Monster Hunter right now.
it's a letdown so far. Like not a full letdown, but it's a letdown. It's underwhelming. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's enough of a letdown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you would like to go find more of our content, you can head over to www.onequest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with your dollars, though, you can go to your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us. Those things all help a whole lot. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or at @1_quest on Twitter and Instagram. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo. And you can always send us an email to social@onequest.com. Otherwise, we will be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you.
Bye.